But you might go, oh, but I feel this towards that person. You feel this towards the image and the idea of the person that you created in your head and the relationship that you have imagined will happen. But you have to look at it as a case of, if I sat here waiting for someone that had told me they don't feel the same way about me, I was sat there waiting for someone that had told me no. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Single Girl's Guide to Life, your weekly guide to single life living in your 20s, 30s and 40s. I'm Chantelle Dyson, a love and life coach, helping you to make sure that your life is complete and full so that you can go out there and date with confidence and find the right people for you and not accept any of the BS that comes with modern day dating, particularly on those dating apps. Today's episode is coming from one of you guys. This is a question that was sent in. Someone asked for some advice on this. And as always, I'll keep it anonymous. Don't want to name people and give the direct thing away. But she says, hey, Chantelle, just wanted to ask, when listening to this one, it was a different episode at the time that it came in with, and it's hit a chord. The last few months have been tough. Been speaking to someone for the last year or so, and I've put my feeling into it, and he didn't know or think of me in that way. Can you do a podcast of long-term situationships that never went anywhere? It's tough knowing that he's fine and living life and I'm the one that's left hurt from it, feeling like I've just been used for. A bit of a laugh in a way. It's tough feeling like you're being led on. In a way, it was my fault for putting my feeling into it, but he was giving all the signs that things were going well. So today's episode is going to deal with that topic exactly, when you feel like there was this situationship that occurred. And you can see here, this person is already saying, in a way, it was my fault, that she's taking some of that on herself. Now, let's get into the idea around situationships and for letting it go on long term. Sometimes we hang out in the hope that this will change, that they're giving us signs and they're one day going to ask us out properly maybe, and that we don't want to be the one to be too forward because we should let the guy lead. It's all about them leading, that energy, the traditional energy of the guy taking the lead and not doing that as the female is the way to go. So we don't say anything, we don't mention anything because we're worried about pushing someone away. And what happens in turn is that we leave it and we think that, oh, we don't need to ask because things are looking good, aren't they? But are they? And so when you're first starting to think about like, what is this? But I don't know if I should bring up what is this because I'm not really sure what this is. And I'm worried that if I bring it up, it's going to push someone away and it's going to cause a problem. Really, we have to be aware that we need to be true and honest in this scenario with ourselves and be prepared for whatever the answer is, because I would rather you look at this and go, I am confused and I don't know what this is, so I need to find out what's going on. And if that means that when I found out what's going on is not what I wanted it to be, I need to be prepared for that. And that's sometimes why we put it off, because we don't want to know what the reality is and we're worried that it's going to stop and what we were imagining in our minds, because right now you're reading into behaviors potentially. If someone is not pursuing you in a particular way that gives you the confidence to go, I know that this is progressing with someone, then that's not fair on you. And it's not actually confirmation that anything's happening at all. As far as we're concerned, that is just something that you are reading into. It's a little bit like we often see it actually the other way round. There are studies out there that I've read that suggest that men overestimate how much a woman is into him. And it's because at times we're quite friendly and polite, but that's just us being human. It's not actually showing that we're interested in someone. And this person didn't go into the details of what they felt was giving them indication that like this was feeling like it was being led on. I don't know if they ever went out on individual one-to-one dates, if they had ever had any low level but physical intimacy, holding hands, kisses on cheeks. I have no idea how far this situationship went. And that can be more confusing if you're getting some of that, but then they're saying they don't want to be with you. This comes down to knowing what you want. It's one of the core things that we cover in the Back to Dating program. We go into the areas of understanding yourself, understanding others, and then understanding dating. And the first part predominantly is understanding you, your relationship to relationships, and working out what you want. Not everybody needs a label. Not everybody needs a specific commitment. And in one-to-ones that I did with the first cohort of Back to Dating, we specifically went into that topic of, okay, you want the commitment, but the label's not important. Is that correct? And for that person, they were like, yes, I want to know we're exclusive, but I don't need the label of boyfriend and girlfriend yet. When it comes to that point, we were actually talking about how you bring all of that up. And we were refining what it meant to that person at that time and how we would define it. Now, for this person, I don't know exactly what the scenario was because I've just got those couple of messages. But if you're not getting to a place that you want to know that gives you security and some confirmation, whether it is just confirmation of exclusivity or if it is going boyfriend and girlfriend, being introduced to family members, whatever it is, what signal you need to feel safe is valid. Now, if you're asking for any of those things within the first week or two, then there might be a little bit more work to do in terms of your own insecurities. But if you're down at some sort of reasonable time of going exclusive from maybe 4, 6, or 8 weeks into dating, then that's not unreasonable. And the label might be too soon for someone, but exclusivity isn't. And someone might come back and say, I'm not ready for that. Now, this is important. This is where the situationship can begin if you're not careful. What you need to establish is the idea of when they might be. Now, that can feel really difficult, but someone might go, I just need a little bit more time. Check in with me in a couple of weeks. I'm not ready to say it yet, but this is where I'm at. This is why I'm not ready to be exclusive. This is why I'm not ready to label it. This is why I'm not ready to meet family or be introducing you to family either. But talk to them about why. I had this very early on with my boyfriend. We had been seeing each other 3 months and an opportunity came up to join at a family party. Now, we were exclusive and we would quite happily say a boyfriend and girlfriend, but there was a point they really struggled with it initially. And I didn't realise that it brought something up for them, but we then needed to discuss it. And actually, in the end, they were like, no, I can do this. And then it all went a bit wrong with timings and schedules and it didn't happen in the end. And that's fine. But we had that point and I was disappointed and they felt bad for that. And I was like, but you're not ready to do that yet. You can't put yourself in a scenario to do something that you're not necessarily ready to do yet. And you certainly shouldn't force yourself because I'm disappointed. Yeah, it's just it's a nice sign to know I'm disappointed, if nothing else. But I understand that this is new for you and you want to take it a little bit of a slower pace. That's fine. So I gave sort of ideas of, okay, what might happen here? When might I meet some of your family and when might you meet some of mine? And we discussed that there and then. If you can have a discussion around it that isn't completely open-ended, that confirms you will one day be exclusive, meet family, have labels, whatever it's important to you, that's not such a problem. And if there's a vague timeline, so I expressed, I'm not going to be here in 6 months or in another 3 months at the 6 month point, and we won't have met anybody or we won't have had intentions to do certain things. Like, I want to know. And you can be direct about this. This is what the whole no BS approach to dating is all about. The one that I go on about, and that's what I teach people to do, is to just be a little bit more bold. To take the lead in some ways and to ask for what you want so you can get it. Now, that might feel like, what if they're going to think I'm too pushy? What if I'm asking for too much? Ultimately, I don't want you to end up in a long-term situationship thinking there's something wrong with you, feeling like you've been led on, when just asking a couple of questions could be the start of not letting it get too far and being able to go, okay, I invested 3 months into this person, but that's only 3 months. It's not 12 or even longer. It's your job to work out where you're at and where that person's at and to decide if you're both within a good parameter of one another. Someone's always going to be slightly mentally ahead and someone's always going to be slightly mentally behind, but how far apart are they? Ask questions to find out. And the first thing has to be, if you're going down exclusivity, hey, this is how I feel about you. It sounds like this person, I don't know if you were dating, if there were friendships, or I don't know how this situation came about, but if you're starting to date, then obviously there's some romantic intention. But hey, like, we're hanging out a lot together. What is this situation to you? And they might go, oh, it's not anything. And you might go, oh, I'm starting to see it a little bit differently. I feel this way. And if they write that off and they don't understand it, then that's when you end it early on. Now, when you're so far in and you're already at that year, then unfortunately there's not lots you can do to undo it. So this is where coming back to knowing what you want is important. If you've established that you do want a long-term committed relationship with someone that you'll be able to grow with, you'll be able to buy a house with and create a family, whether it's just the two of you as a family or a family including children, whatever it is that you want to do to build a household together, then you have to prioritize your needs over the situation that this person is creating in your life, which is, I'm going to kind of give you half and half. So if that person's giving you mixed messages, if they have said things that are promising, but the action doesn't follow it up, then you've got to look after yourself. You are the only one that is going to put your needs at the forefront. And I often go into this idea. I call her little Chantel, little Shawnee. There is an inner child, and that's usually what people refer to this as. You don't have to name them specifically. You can imagine them however you want. But I go, that's what she really wants. And if I hang around with this person, if I try and make it work with this person that's telling me it might work one day, or saying that they don't really enjoy my company in that way, if I try to make that happen, or if I just stay close, I'm letting her down and I'm letting her get hurt. She's already upset. She's already annoyed that this is not where it is, where she thought it was. But it comes a point where you go, I'm not going to let her get hurt anymore. It's quite nice to differentiate between you hurting yourself, even though that is like a representation of, but it's this idea that you're taking care of something smaller than you are. It's an idea that allows you to go, I'm going to look after myself and I'm going to be righteous about it and I'm going to be forthright and I'm going to go for it, because I need to make sure this is something that I want. I don't want it to be half-assed. I want it to be something that means something, and I want it to be something that will last longer than 6 months, and I don't want it to be that someone can go off with someone else at any point. You're allowed to make those decisions. But you might go, oh, but I feel this still as that person. You feel this towards the image and the idea of the person that you created in your head and the relationship that you have imagined will happen. But that isn't real. That person didn't offer that, not truly, and they may have said things, but it's not actually there. As you're moving through that, it's important to set boundaries. You should have set boundaries when you were first dealing with the situation, but now that we've come to realize it's not going to happen, that means cutting all contact. Another step of the No BS Guide to Dating, which I'll put a link into the bio so you can read it in full. You've got to cut that person out of your life. Because if they're not showing up in the way you want them to, but you're allowing them into your life, maybe even still interacting with them, maybe nothing has changed. Maybe you're literally still going out on not dates, and they're getting your time and energy, which is starving some of the time and energy that you need for yourself, robbing you of the opportunity to go out there and date because you're like, oh, well, I'm seeing blah, blah on Friday. No. You've got to set the boundary with yourself, and setting boundaries with yourself is one of the hardest people you ever set boundaries with, because we kind of let ourselves off and we kind of go, but I feel like this, but I want this. But you know, if you're truly honest with yourself, that this situation and the reason it's a situationship is that it doesn't make you happy because it's not truly giving you what you want. Oh, but if they could just, no, not oh, but if they could just, they've told you no. They've said it's not quite right. And you need to go away. And you need to cry, and you need to mourn, and you need to let it go in whatever way you find it most appropriate to do. Many of you know that my option is crying a lot and then journaling. And if I don't journal because I'm in such a state, it is whacking the camera on my phone and recording my thoughts out loud. And that applies to every scenario in my life. If I can't write, I'll talk it out loud to my camera. And the reason for that is because when you talk out loud, you start to process it. Dr. Steve of the Chimp Paradox spoke about this on the Diary of a CEO podcast. Even just talking out loud, talking to yourself, will allow you to make sense of it, to get it all out. And I often have quite a lot of epiphanies when I'm talking out loud because I'm actually thinking about it. When I quit my job, I've got a video, 15-minute long video of me in the bath crying because I didn't realize I was going to start crying. I went and had a bath, which probably calmed my parasympathetic system down, as it does. And instead of just being in a completely heightened state, I was still upset, but I could actually make sense of what was going on. And in it, I have realizations about why I'm so upset, having just handed my notice in or had a meeting with the head teacher. I'm bawling it. It's 15 minutes of crying, talking, and being like, I don't know why I feel like this. And then be like, oh, but I think it might be this. You've got to get it out. You've got to release it. And if you're not used to releasing it, it's finding your method of. Some people like to meditate. So you try and clear your mind to a point that you're only focusing on one thing. And you, when thoughts pop up, you bring yourself back to center. But sometimes in the thoughts that pop up, not always is your mind clear in meditation. It's to do with what comes up, what realizations you have. And sometimes meditation can be one of the busiest things in your mind, even though you are meant to be coming back to center. Others, it's journaling. Others, it's talking it out loud to themselves. Others, it's talking in therapy. For others, it's talking to people. But everything you'll notice is getting it out. And with any setback, heartbreak, and this still is heartbreak, by the way, this is unrequited love. So whilst it might not be a relationship that's ending, and it might not have ever been anything, you'd never even really dated the guy, this is a situation that you still need to treat in a very similar way. Back to the episode of letting go of the guy you never dated. Now, it's not your fault for this situation. There's some responsibility you can take, but you were only behaving in the way that you best knew how at the time. I don't want you to spend time beating yourself up, and there will be elements of it, especially during the grieving process. There's the bargaining section where you say, what if, not just to them, but what if I'd done this differently? What if I'd said that? What if I'd done this? And the anger part isn't just anger at them. It becomes anger at yourself during that process, because you do go, God's sake, why couldn't I have just seen what was happening? Why couldn't I have just listened? Like, I knew. Why did I have to try and just keep liking them? Or why didn't I say something? This is not the time to beat yourself up. It's the time to show yourself complete compassion. We have all been in this situation. I don't think there is anyone on this planet that at some point hasn't hung around someone for longer than they should have done. And they might have only had to do it once in their teenagers to know that they never wanted to do it again. But there are also serial repeaters of this mistake that still haven't learned. In fact, there are still people pining over other people that they can't be with and wish they could, and beat themselves up about it. But if you can just take a moment to go, I get that I shouldn't have stuck around for as long as I did, and I need to make a commitment to myself and to my little inner self, small version of me that is really upset and hurt right now, that I am not going to let this happen again. Channel the anger and the frustration and the sadness that you have and go, I have learnt from this. I will not let this happen to me again. And when I see it happening, I'm going to do something different. We all know that quote, insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. Albert Einstein. When you realize that you're doing the same thing again and letting someone have access to you but not commit to you, and you don't really know what's going on and you're confused and like, does he like me? Doesn't he like me? You're not going to let it happen again. You cannot change what has already happened. It's gone. It's done. And you need to acknowledge it, mark it, and let it go, but commit to yourself that you will not let it happen again, and that you're going to protect yourself in that scenario. And you have actually learned this time from the experience. Now, this might seem like, all right, Sean, bit harsh. I need you to know that you need to change a little bit. And I understand that you just really wanted them to want you back. And that's okay. We can give ourselves that compassion, but we can also give ourselves a kick up the butt and say, I just need to do it different next time. I need to look, what was it? What was it that I missed? What was it that I let slip and didn't pick up on? Take some time out to think about what you ignored, what you brushed off, because those are the things that you can look out for next time, so that you can go, okay, I don't need to run away from this scenario. I don't need to go, oh my God, this person's going to abandon me later on and string me along. But what you can do is go, seems a bit odd what they've said there. I'm not just going to let it. I'm going to inquire. I'm going to ask them what they mean by that. So what do you mean? What sort of plans have you got for the future? Oh, I see. Doesn't actually feature a girlfriend. It doesn't actually look like settling down. Doesn't actually include anything to do with me. Maybe this person doesn't like me the way that I like them. And inquire. Because the person that gets hurt in the long run is you, if you don't. Now, during this time, it is hard, it is stressful, and you should be looking after yourself the best way you know how. But in addition to that, hopefully you have all the core principles of single life confidence built around you. So you've got your character, your community, and your courage. This is where your community comes in big time. You need to get the support of other people, because there will be times when you feel so crappy about yourself and you just need to cry, but you need a hug at the same time. or you need someone to hear you crying and just say, cry it all out, girl. Like I'm telling you to do now, but in that moment. And you need one person, two, maybe two, that can provide that kind of comfort. It's important to have different people in your circle of support to call upon for different things. Like, yes, there is that person that you text every single day or every couple of days to check in with them. Doesn't have to be a romantic partner, but someone that you regularly catch up with. And it's just text. You don't say, hey, how are you? And goodbye, because your conversation just continues. But you need also in there some people that can get you through difficult times, that are good with a physical reassurance, a friendly physical reassurance, and someone that can hold space for you, that can let you cry and doesn't try to move you on too quickly, doesn't try to say, well, let's get you back out there dating. No, 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 that's not going to help. Not right now, because you're not in a space to. At the moment, you're still kind of holding on to someone and they just need to let you cry. They need to like encourage you to keep doing that. And you also need them as you progress through, once you do let all of those feelings out, when you do start to get angry at yourself, to express it to them and say, I'm annoyed at myself. And they'll be able to give you some of the compassion that you need to give yourself as well. And they can model that to you. They can show you, well, no, hang on, look, I did the same when I was in that relationship. I was exactly the same. And it's so annoying when you do it. And just hearing that live from someone can make all the difference, because you don't feel like you're the only idiot that's done it before. You realise that all of us do these things when our emotions are involved that aren't always the most helpful for us. But friends are there, or should be able to cope with some of it. And not everyone is great at this. You've got to find the right people for the right scenarios. That's why having a small but diverse group of people that maybe don't even know each other, that create your support network, is important. I know making friends is so much of a struggle for singles, but yet again, it's something that I work with people on all the time. This is what I'm here for. All of that single life stuff, dating, friendships, having those people in your lives. It's what I'm here to do. It's what I'm here to help with. It's what all of these podcasts are all about. And lastly, the whole aim of this is to move on. It's to move on from the idea that you had in your head, the fantasy that you imagined of the two of you one day. And it is naff. This isn't nice. This is disappointing. And it won't change. It's unlikely to. But you have to look at it as a case of, if I sat here waiting for someone that had told me they don't feel the same way about me, and then at the end of my life, I could look and go, what did I do? I was sat there waiting for someone that had told me no. Who am I? What kind of person does that? Whereas you need to go, someone has told me no. Someone's done me at least the decency of it. And maybe I had to force it out of them, but they still admitted, no, that's not how I see you. And whether they do or don't give you that clarity, even if someone's avoiding answering that question, you know, by ghosting you and now not seeing you anymore, like that's an answer still. But you have to accept the no. You have to take that no and go, okay, it's not what I want to hear, but I'm going to do the best with it I can. And instead of dwelling on it, but please give your time to process it, once you're past the most touchy emotional section, you start to push on. That doesn't necessarily mean getting back into dating to find somebody else just yet, but it does mean checking in with your values, checking in that you're living every single day the way that you want to, embracing your single life, and going out there to have fun, to learn, to experience, whatever that means to you, and not letting this situationship experience make you feel like you shouldn't, and that you aren't good enough, and that your life isn't worth trying to fulfill without a partner with you. You have the choice. You can let this situationship be the length that it was anyway, so in this case about a year, and you can hold on to it and let it eat you up for another year, 2 years, 5 years, and you don't move from this spot because you're so hurt and sad about that situation. Or you can choose to go, I have wasted 12 months on this, and bar a couple of days to really get the tears out, I am not letting it take any more of my time. I don't have time to waste. I don't know how long I've got on this earth. I cannot get any more time back than I already have. And I have wasted enough time on this person already. And I refuse to waste any more, especially one in which they don't even care about it. They're not losing out on time. But I, by holding on to it, I am. Nah. Not going to do that. So just think about that the next time that you're dwelling on how the end of this situationship or how this situationship makes you feel. Reflect on, do I want to waste any more time? Situationships are hard, whether they're short, whether they're long. It's annoying when it's long because it means that we feel like we've wasted time. But to prevent that happening again, ask questions earlier on. And if you're dealing with processing a situationship, let it go, let it out, and move on. Don't waste any more of your time on someone that has clearly told you or implied that they don't see a relationship with you, that they don't want to be with you in that way. If you ever have any questions that you want answered, dating, single life, friendships, personal development even, drop me a message on Instagram. I do check them. I will get back to them as soon as I can. I have conversations with so many of you, and thank you so much to those that do. I mentioned the No BS Guide to Dating, which I will pop details for in the description so that you can download that and start applying that to your dating life so that you don't waste your time in dating. You can actually find some of the right guys to date for you. Until next time, everybody, keep celebrating single life together.